Well, good morning. Doesn't it feel weird? Does it feel like we're more than a week into 2023 for anyone? No? Just talking to someone on the way in this morning, it's like, can't believe it's only been 1 week. Like, it feels like Christmas was ages ago, but that was only 2 weeks ago, and it's all just feeling a bit strange. But thinking of only being 1 week into the new year, how is everybody going with their resolutions or maybe their goals? Anybody set goals for 2023? Are you still going with them? I was just having a little bit of a look, online, at some of the popular resolutions that were set for 2023. And some of them seems to be a continuous repetition year after year now. The biggest ones are eating healthier, exercising more. One that was interesting that came up was actually saving more money, was a new one that I hadn't seen very often. And others are spending more time with friends and family. If you're on Facebook at all, you might have seen some pop up as well. I saw a few New Year's resolutions. One resolution that popped up that someone had made was to have no more resolutions. So that was one. Another person's that I saw was that they were not going to smoke this whole year, which seems like a good resolution. But then they put that they have never smoked before anyway. So it's a pretty easy one to keep. But hey, set the standards and you can meet them. Maybe you're sitting here today and maybe you don't do resolutions, but maybe you have a goal this year and it looks something like this, that your resolution or goal for 2023 is to accomplish the goals that you set for 2022 because you should have done them in 2021 because you actually promised them in 2020 and planned them in 2019. But it's interesting, as the years have gone by, more and more people are moving away from setting goals or resolutions as the new year comes in. And it's actually for one main reason, and the reason is because people are more and more afraid that we're going to fail those goals that we set in our life. And there's even studies that back this up in done in America, one in particular, showed that 80% of people that set their New Year's resolution or goal ends up failing them within the first 30 days. And a study also showed that only 8% of people who set a resolution manage to see them through for the whole year. And so if any of you have seen Lord of the Rings, you might know this scene, and Boromir, he says that one does not simply walk into Mordor, and they're talking about delivering the ring, and I think it seems evident as well that one does not simply keep their New Year's resolution either. But whether you're here and you've set a resolution or not, I'm pretty safe, I think, to say that everybody here this morning is hoping that we will be a better person than we were last year in some way or another. And that brings us to the problem. If there's this worry and fear of failure, of starting something new or improving on ourselves, we are never actually going to be able to finish something that we don't ever start either. And so that's why the message today is titled Get Started. And as Colin alluded to already, we are going to be looking at Moses and how God chose one man, Moses, who, just like us here today and all people around the world, were struggling with a fear of failure. And we're going to see that God motivated Moses to just get him started. We're going to learn from Moses' life as an example of how God might be trying to motivate us to do something new in 2023. But maybe you're sitting here already and maybe you haven't set a goal or anything, but you already know what God is trying to motivate you to do this year. Maybe it is something simple like starting a diet to improve your health, signing up for a gym membership, or maybe it's building deeper friendships this year that stretch you more and challenge you. Maybe it's making a difference in people's lives, like volunteering at camps that are going on, or volunteering at a homeless shelter, Or maybe it's even getting involved in ministry here at Lighthouse Community Church. Or even better yet, maybe it's taking that next step in your faith, believing in Jesus or getting baptized, accepting him as your Lord and Savior. What is it for you? What is God trying to get you to start? Because we all have something. I know for myself, each year I really enjoy starting a new devotional that I'll follow through for the year. This year in particular, though, two things that I want to work on is my reading skills. I'm not the best reader, and I've been talking to a few other pastors in the area and want to work on that, and then also my preaching as well. And so they're not resolutions, but they're goals that I have for 2023. But when we also start talking to people, as I'm sure you might have had conversations already in this first week, about starting something new this year, the most common response often isn't that, oh, I don't know what they want to start, but the more common response is that I've just got so many things that I want to start that I don't know which one to do first or where. And I have that struggle at times as well, and it could be overwhelming, but there was this exercise that I came across a number of years ago that helped me out to get a better perspective on what are the most important things for us to be looking at in our life. So as you're sitting here in your seats, just take a moment, because this exercise requires us to go to the end where we'll start. And just imagine maybe you're at the end of 2023, or even better yet, maybe you're at the end of your life. Okay, your memorial service is taking place. Now, as you're imagining your memorial service take place, what do you want people to be saying about you? What do you want people to be remembering you for? Because if we can answer these questions, then that is going to help us know what we need to be doing right now or where we should be getting started. And maybe you want to be remembered as someone who is generous, or someone who has a close walk with the Lord, or someone who is just faithful in the little things. Whatever it might be for you, when we think about how we want people to see us when our life is done and dusted, it can help us know where we need to start making changes now. And as James read for us, we got a little bit of a glimpse into Moses' memorial in Hebrews chapter 11. It was a similar exercise that God did for us, where he showed us a bit of a snapshot of the things that Moses was remembered for. And I just want to touch on a few of them again in verses 24 to 26. Where it said, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. Now we read that and it sounds like an incredible snapshot of Moses' life. Something that we could probably want to aspire to ourselves. But we also need to remember that this snapshot here that we see isn't actually how Moses' life began. And most of us know Moses and his story as well. And even if you haven't been around church very long, you know a number of the great things that he achieved. But in order for us to really understand the transformation that Moses went through, I just want to grab a bit more context this morning of Moses' life growing up. Colin touched on it a little bit, but let's unpack it a little bit more. As we know, Moses was born a Hebrew, but he was born in the land of Egypt. And during the time, as Colin mentioned, the Israelites were enslaved, and there was a king who was very upset that the Israelites were expanding in number so rapidly that he needed to slow them down, fearing that they might be able to overpower the Egyptians. And so the Pharaoh decided to stop the rise of population, let's stop any more baby boys occurring. And we know that Moses' mum, secretly not wanting to lose her baby, hid Moses in a basket in the reeds and put him in the river where Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe. She saw the little baby and she had pity on him and decided to raise him herself. And when Moses had grown, though, to about 40 years old, he was watching out over his own people, the Hebrews, doing hard labor, slave labor, and he noticed an Egyptian fighting with a Hebrew, and Moses decided it's time to intervene. He wanted to protect his people, and so he ended up killing the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, thinking that nobody had seen his actions. But it didn't occur to him the next day when he sees two of his own people fighting, and he tries again to intervene, and out of fear they reveal that his secret is out. And they're scared that Moses is going to kill them and bury them in the sand. And so with his secret out, surely more than these few Hebrews know. And so Moses flees Egypt, scared for his life, into the wilderness where he spends the next 40 years shepherding sheep. But at the end of those 40 years, we arrive at a turning point in Moses' life where he has this miraculous encounter with a burning bush and the voice of God telling him, it's time to get started. It is Moses' time to start what God had planned for him. It was time, God said, to bring my people out of Egypt, out of slavery. And that's where we're going to pick up our passage today, because we've seen in Hebrews where Moses ended up, and now we're going to look at how Moses ended up getting there. So if you do have your Bibles, we'll be spending a bit of our time in Exodus, starting in chapter 3. But what we need to know is if we are going to get started, the first thing we need to do is we need to start where we are. And we see this in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11. Moses has had this experience with the burning bush, but Moses protested against what God had said, and he says to him, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And we can imagine, understanding a bit of Moses' story that we've just looked at, what Moses might have been thinking as the burning bush miraculous encounter happened, and God's telling him all these things that he is going to now do. And then Moses is just thinking, hang on, do you know who I am? I'm a fugitive. I'm not only a fugitive now, I'm also a murderer. I'm also the Hebrew that was raised in Pharaoh's temple. And that's the same Pharaoh now that wants to see me dead. And you're telling me that I'm going to go and take his slaves and all his workers out of his control for free. And so God, obviously all-knowing, knows these things, and he answers Moses. He answers him with five simple words. In the next verse, he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Something that I think we tend to often overlook, maybe because of the situations that we're facing, the things that we're doing, or the things that we have done in the past. But when God says, I'll be with you to Moses, those words are just as true for us today. God says that he will be with us. And a perfect example of what this means for us actually takes me back a number of years to when we lived in Coober Pedy. We had a little dog called Duchess. She was a tough dog who stood, well, I shouldn't have said little, but it gives it a little bit away. But she stood about 30 centimetres tall, so she was pretty small, about 50 centimetres long. She was a terrier cross-border collie, beautiful dog, but she had this terrible habit. As most little dog owners would know, they have this terrible habit. They go into other people's properties and they wander around. And so at least three times a week on average, we would be maybe out kicking the ball around, or Dad would be in the shed, and we hear Duchess' distressed yelp as she's running with her little legs as fast as they can carry her around the corner into our property with a nice big dog chasing behind her, barking away, because she's obviously been snooping around in someone else's yard. She got caught and she's running for her life, she probably thinks. But what's interesting is you see that situation taking place and she's running, but as soon as she gets close enough to my dad, my mum, me or my brother, something just changed. She gains this miraculous courage and she all of a sudden stops running and she stands her ground, she starts barking, and then even sometimes she's got the courage to then go and chase away the other dog. In a split second, something in Duchess's situation changed. She turned around. Why? Because she knew who she was with. She knew the person that she was with would protect her at any cost. And for us, and for Moses, it was the same situation when God said to him, I will be with you. How much more for us when we look at situations in our life that we're facing? Should we be courageous when the Creator of the world says to us, I will be with you no matter what? When we realize that it doesn't matter where we are, but it only matters, it doesn't matter where we are when we know who we are with. It doesn't matter when we look at our lives, at the past mistakes that we've made, the mistakes maybe that you made in 22. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made in your entire life at all. It doesn't matter what you've failed, what big decision you might be facing, what loss you might have experienced, a friend, family member, a job. It doesn't matter if you're at the point that you don't even know how are you going to get through 2023. Because God wants you to know that He is with you and He has a plan for you. But all we have to do is be willing to get started. And the first thing in order for us to do that is to get started where we are. But secondly, once we get started where we are, we need to use what we have. Now, some of you might have just been, it was enough for God to say, I will be with you, and you've got the courage now to go and do whatever He's called you to. But for Moses, that wasn't the case, if you know his story. Moses' fear and doubts were still holding him back from getting started on what God had planned for him. And we pick it up again in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, where again, Moses is protesting, God, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. So often when we read this passage, I think we don't really understand the power of what was in Moses' hand. A staff. Moses was a shepherd, so it seemed natural that he would have something like that. It was actually probably something that he just found on the ground, picked it up, and had just been using it. He uses it to tend sheep, to maybe ward off attacking predators. And really every shepherd would have had one. So God has said, what is in your hand? And as we know a bit of Moses' story, this staff does many incredible things throughout his life. Some of the things that this staff achieves is he throws it to the ground multiple times and it transforms into a snake. And then Moses picks it up and it transforms back into a staff. This staff touches the river Nile and it turns into blood. It brings the plague of frogs. It's used to part the Red Sea. It's used later on to make water come out of a rock. And then even later on than that, this ordinary shepherd's staff is used for the Israelites to be able to defeat their enemies in battle. God took this ordinary staff and used it to achieve many miracles because He uses what we have. And maybe you're here this morning and you have a staff. Or maybe it's not a physical staff, but maybe it's something that God can use. What do you have? Maybe you're a really good at repairing things. You're a fixer. Or maybe you're a really good cook or a good baker. Maybe you're really good with young kids. Maybe you're just good at listening, just being present for people. Maybe you're good at something that you are sitting there and you think, that's just ordinary. But God, when we take what we think is ordinary and we give it to God, He uses it to give us extraordinary results. But it's only if we're willing to get started. So firstly, we needed to remember to start where we are, because it doesn't matter where you are when we know who we are with. And secondly, we need to use what we have, because God can use what we have for extraordinary results. And thirdly, we need to do what we can. And here again, Moses, third time lucky, he's still not convinced. God has been telling him to just go and get started, Moses. Yet again, we see a little bit further down in chapter 4 that Moses is now pleading with God. He was protesting, now pleading with the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. And then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether a person, whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. By now, I think you can kind of tell that God's probably getting on his nerves a little bit. Like, he's been saying to Moses, giving him answer after answer to all of Moses' protests. Yet Moses keeps falling into that common mankind's best trait of procrastination. We got an assignment, and what do? We do the dishes, we vacuum the house, we weed the garden. Or if you've got young kids, or even older kids maybe, when you're putting them to bed, oh, I need to go to the toilet. Oh, my blanket needs flipping. Oh, I need a drink of milk. Can't find my teddy bear. Or maybe it's when you're going on a diet. You say, oh, no, today's actually my cheat day. I'll start tomorrow. But I can't start now. It's almost Christmas time. Or it's going to be my birthday soon. I wouldn't be dieting then. And God is saying to Moses, enough is enough, Moses. Just go already. And maybe some of us here this morning need that spiritual kick up the backside as well to get us started for 2023. Because as we know at the beginning, we saw that we're never going to finish something that we don't start. So today is that day that we should get started, because we know that right where we are, we know that we can start right where we are, because it doesn't matter where we are when we know we are with the Creator of the universe. And when we know that He wants us to do something incredible with Him. And then we can use what we have right now, because our ordinary in God's hands becomes extraordinary. But all you have to do is do what you can. You might not be able to fix a broken relationship today, but we can start by apologizing for our wrongs. You can't lose 20 kilos today, but you can start eating healthier and exercising. We can't make the next generation devoted followers of Jesus today, but we can start discipling the younger people in the church. We just need to do what we can. But the problem is, what often happens is we see these goals in our lives and things that we want to achieve, and we look at the goal and we think, oh, that's just incredible. It would be awesome to see that take place. But when we start looking at the steps that it's going to take for us to reach that goal, we start to doubt. We see steps one, oh yeah, but then we're looking down seven and eight, and oh, I don't know if I could actually do those steps. And we start to doubt the process. We start to doubt whether all those steps are really worth it. But just like God told Moses, he's also telling us to just go and get started. Stop focusing on the steps in between and just take one step at a time with him. Because those steps that we're often worrying about that are ahead of us are often maybe not even a part of what God has planned for us anyway. He's quite often got something better in store. But we'll never know until we take that first step. And we focus on you being you and God being God. Because as we all know, we only had one shot at 2022. It's gone. We've only got one shot at 2023. And realistically, we've only got one shot at life. We'll never finish something that we don't start. So get started. But remember that when we start where we are and we use what we have to do what we can, we won't only have a year to remember, but we will be able to live a life that leaves a legacy behind. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the fact that, as we've sung in our songs this morning, that you are so faithful to us, Lord. No matter what mistakes we've made last year, you are still faithful to us in this year and all the years ahead of us, Lord. We thank you that you continue to pursue us no matter what, just as you pursued Moses after protest after protest, after pleading, Lord, you had a plan for him. And you have a plan for each one of us here this morning to be used for your glory. And Lord, I know many of us, even myself, we look at the things that we can do and we just think that they're ordinary, that they're good for nothing. But Lord, we just thank you that we know from experience that you take those things and you use them for extraordinary works here on this earth. So I just pray that you would help all of us just to get started on what you are challenging us with this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.